Turning your Bibles back with me today to the book of Jude, if you would please. The book of Jude. Tremendous book. The New Testament, especially one that's just before the book of Revelation. I have prefaced the message, I think, the last... since we started, actually, about the day and time in which we're living. Of course, I could use the whole time for that, actually. I'm not going to do that, because I don't have to tell you about the day and hour in which we're living. My birthday last February, I turned 79. Been around a while. But I'm feeling a great burden like I haven't felt in the ministry to try to, I don't have to keep you updated on anything because you know, but I want you to know what God's Word has to say about it. And we should be concerned about what He says about it. And of course, serve Him accordingly. After all, you know, He did say that you and me as Christians are salt of the earth. Salt lost its favor, wherewithal shall it be salted? And so we need to do that. We see things happening. I hear announcements. I listen to very little news. It puts me in another state of mind, and it does you too. You listen, you have to think about it. You don't just listen and dismiss it. Some of you are news fiends. I'm going to tell you, your pastor, it's on my opinion. Of course, what you do is your business, but not good. That's not good. I mean, I know you may have a lot of spare time and that kind of thing, but find something else to do. Do what my wife does. She plays Scrabble. Boy, if you're going to play her, you better be ready. All I got to say, she plays me. She's out for blood. Anyway. We're just in a mess, folks. The only great and wonderful thing that encourages you and me, our Christian life, that He's coming soon. Glory to God, Jesus is coming soon. I could just go to John chapter 14 and preach about His coming this morning, but I don't believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. Here in Jude today, we're going to look at verses 5 through 7. However, we're going to start verse 1 and read down through verse 7. Verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He's talking to you and me. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, don't be just namsy-pamsy. Don't be just a church goer. Nothing bothers you. Nothing stirs you. Nothing challenges you. But He tells us to earnestly contend for... What's the next two words? What is it? I believe there's a little article before that word. The faith. The faith. That means it's only one. I've said that many times, but it's true. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And that just simply means looseness or lustfulness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's our text for today down through verse 7. I will therefore put you in remembrance that you once knew this, though you once knew this. He's telling me, he's just reminding you something you knew, you already knew. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, notice what happened, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and have set forth for an example, suffering The vengeance of eternal fire. I got the word vengeance there in parentheses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, help me to help these people that you've given me the awesome responsibility to be the under-shepherd, their pastor. What a joy, what a blessing it is. God, we're just living in a day and time when we need to be challenged to keep doing the right thing. Living by faith is the only way we can do that. And doing what you would have us to do, loving you, praying, reading the Word of God. Lord, please help us, I pray. And help our church to be a church that's standing, and it is, best I can determine, in these latter days in which we're living. God, may our light shine bright and point others to Christ. Lord, please help us now. And Lord, I do pray, if there be someone in our midst this morning that knows not Christ, may today be the end of that. They'll accept Him as their personal Savior. And encourage your people. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now this book being, as I've mentioned just before, the book of Revelation, certainly is not happen chance. Not at all. In verse 5, as we begin here, unbelievers, they've made professions. And I believe that's mostly make a profession, but not really saved. And there may be some that did get saved, but they commit a terrible sin. Once they're saved, they don't follow on with God. There's something terribly wrong when someone makes a profession of faith. You have to beg them to get baptized. But that happens quite frequently. But Jude speaks directly to the false teachers and to all that follow after them. What he's saying is, remember the judgment of God? You once knew that God judged unbelief. And so he says, I'm reminding you that he does. And Jude recalls three examples. For instance, there was an example of Israel right after they were delivered from Egyptian slavery. God judged and punished all the unbelievers of Israel. Of course, it's right there in the Old Testament. And what happened to most of the believers in Israel is tragic. For example, there were over 600,000 men alone who broke away from the enslavements of Egypt and began this journey to the Promised Land. And this means that including the women and children, there were well over 2 million people who stepped out to follow God to the Promised Land. Exodus 12, Numbers chapter 1. But the critical question is this: how many remained faithful to God through this wilderness journey? May I submit to you this morning, you know it as well as I, we're on a wilderness journey. Oh, well, we are. It's a wilderness out there, folks. If you stay in your Bible and you read and you are doing your best to live the life that God would have you live, it's not going to be easy, and you realize that you're walking out there in darkness. Been delivered from darkness to salvation, but I mean, we're in the world, but we're not of it, the Bible tells us. How many remain faithful through all of this? How many actually turned away from the fleshly desires aroused by delicious foods, drinks, bodily stimulations of Egypt and the world? How many actually disciplined their bodies? Their bodies, turned their backs on their desires, kept their eyes and hearts upon the Promised Land? How many did that? How many were faithful and steadfast? How many were unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord until they reached the Promised Land? Remember, 2 million began the journey. Do you remember how many entered the Promised Land? Folks, this is a truth in the Word of God you need to ponder and think about. Old gentleman, as a member of the first church I pastored, Mr. Harrison, he said it once, he said it don't know how many times. He said, when the Lord comes, he's going to go take his people home in a handle basket. Well, he's not far wrong. Not far wrong. Only two, Caleb and Joshua. Only two. Why? Because those that didn't, they did not please God. Numbers chapter 14, just go there and read about it. Jude says that what happened to Israel is going to happen to the false teachers and to all who follow their teachings. The doom that fell upon the unbelievers of Israel will fall upon anyone who forsakes Christ. Now, let me ask this question. I'm going to try my best to answer it in the next few minutes. What were the sins of Israel that brought about judgment upon them? What was it? Number one, and I want you to, when I give you these, I want you to just think about our nation today. I just want you to think about what's going on in our country. First of all, the first sin was the sin of lust. Lust. Your TV and your cell phone and all these things, a lot of people are watching today, is filled with lust. Or causes you to lust. Folks, we must not lust after evil things as they lusted. Talking about the Israelites. They lusted and craved for the delicious foods of Egypt. Numbers 11, verse 4 and following. As a result of the lust, a plague broke out among the people and killed many of them. Thousands. In fact, so many died that the place became known as the grave of greediness or of lust. Numbers 11, verse 34. The lust of those believers is a strong warning to you and me. We must not lust after evil things. For instance, the pleasures and the possessions of this world. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What a powerful verse. James 4:2, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. I could use the rest of the time just on that one thought. The second one is the sin of idolatry. The sin of idolatry. When Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the law, the people became restless, waiting for the word of God. What a sordid story this is. Oh, I mean, it is putrefying. So they decided, since he was delaying his coming back to the camp, they decided to go ahead and create their own form of worship. That's in Exodus 32. They made a calf. Everybody threw in their jewelry and all of that and melted down. And lo and behold, out walked this calf. Now what the Bible said? No, it didn't. Yes, they made it. They made it. See, the point is this. The image of the golden calf was only to help them picture and imagine God. Boy, when you start imagining about God, you can come up with all kinds of stories and ideas. They felt the need for some image to help them in their worship of Jehovah. Now notice the reference to eating, drinking, playing. Look that word up in the Hebrew sometime when you read that passage of Scripture, and it has to do with blatant immorality. Such behavior often accompanies idolatry. Oh yes. The worship of a self-made God, the calf, created a person's their own minds. Oh, the mind of man. Oh my. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our idols today, just listen to me mention two or three, TV, sports, could be a wife. Could be your home, could be your car, could be your clothes, could be your cell phone. Those things that just occupy us and consume us and leaves God sitting over here somewhere, it's idolatry. It's idolatry. Then there was a sin, and I've mentioned it, a fornication or immorality. I never thought when I was a young boy and growing up, and of course sin's always been around, immorality's always been around, but I'm telling you what, in the last several years, as I've grown older, it's grown worse and worse and worse. And it permeates a lot of things you're looking at and reading. You don't need your mind fed with that junk and filth. It'll make you what you're reading. Oh, you can have the form of walking with God doing that, but your mind is a trash can. Better get away from it. It'll bite you. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. Spend some of that time reading the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer. This gross sin of some of the believers in Israel, this was the sin. Over 20,000 of them committed immorality with their neighbors, and as a result, they were judged and condemned to destruction, banned from the promised land. I didn't think I'd go take the time, but I will. Hold your place here. Go with me to Numbers 25, the book of Numbers, chapter 25. Numbers 25. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Numbers 25, first 9 verses. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Sorry beginning, isn't it? Whoredom means exactly what we know whoredom means. Verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto the brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 20,000 and 4,000. Because of their ungodliness and their immorality. In Romans 1:27, the Bible says, and likewise also the men. I'm going to stop. Turn to that passage of Scripture with me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It's not new to most of us, maybe to some. But this describes our day. If it doesn't, I'm a fool. But I don't believe I'm a fool. Romans 1, verse 27. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What a verse. I'd like to have time to read the whole chapter, especially the latter part of it, but I won't do it. Then in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And Paul goes on to say, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Not going to heaven. In Galatians 5, 19 and 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll take God's word every time. Every time. Folks, God's not being fooled. God separates those from those that are not His people from those. Then next, a couple of more and we're finished. There's the sin of tempting God. See, tempting God? What do you mean, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you. The word tempt, if we were to define it, means to try God's patience. To see how far a person can go, temptation, to test the patience of Christ. Now, the believers in Israel, to further illustrate what I'm talking about, felt that God and His leader Moses demanded and expected too much. Even the believers, God demanded too much. Well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. The preacher just expects you every time you turn around, you need to be in church. I've never said that. Never have said that. And not that you did, but, you know, if I love the Lord like I should, the house of God is going to be my next home. That's where I need to be. And then often, that is, the believers there in Israel, often longed for things of the flesh which they had formerly known in Egypt. In other words, that would correlate with the world. I don't know if you do or not, but it got so more, most all the time that I go, when I've been out, I've been somewhere, and I go, I thank God I got home. I pray every day of my life. And I'm not trying to be pious, but I pray every morning, God knows my soul, that He, not only me, but my family, He'll keep us from evil. Evil people, circumstances, and situations. You get caught up in something like that so quick. You see anything that you know is not exactly right, and you see that which right away will tell you, just run, get away, go. Don't need to be a part of it. Don't want to sit. Just go. You get away. You see, these people became discontent with the things that God had provided and longed to return to Egypt, which is the world. How many people do you know today? And how many people can you ask today if they're saved and they'll tell you they're saved, but you can't find an ounce of spirituality about them, no matter how hard you look? Nothing spiritual, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I want there to be some evidence in my life. What about you? I've told you. I say it again, and it might not be that much longer, but I don't belong in this world. Matter of fact, I don't like this place. I don't like this at all. The world's my enemy. Enemy, yeah. Enemy, yeah. Hey, listen. No, I don't need part of that. So as a result of that, many of them perished in the wilderness. And they were not allowed to enter the promised land. Believers often feel that God expects too much. Oh, how many times have I heard that down through the years? Not all, but many feel that God expects too much and that they're missing out on something in the world. Man, I go to church all the time. I don't have time to do anything else. What is it you want to do so bad other than worship God? What is it out there? Probably some things you haven't died to yet. They often feel that God, because of His grace and mercy, He'll often forgive them. Even if they look, God will forgive. Even if they do taste and drink, God will forgive them. Even if they do touch, God will forgive them. Even if they do slip a little, God understands. He'll forgive me. And if we just hold back a little, God will forgive us. And then there's a sin of murmuring and complaining and grumbling. Some of the believers in Israel were always complaining and murmuring against God and Moses. Numbers 14:2 and verse 36 and Numbers 16 verses 11 and 41. And throughout the chapter, actually. The result was judgment and punishment by the destroyer. That is, an angel sent by God to execute judgment. Oh, yes. They perished in the wilderness. As I just said, never saw the promised land. Now, don't correlate the promised land with heaven. It don't work. How many believers grumble and gripe? How many become dissatisfied with, for instance, with the direction God gives through leaders, with the food that God gives through His people, with the way God guides through His leaders and the word that God gives them through their leaders? And by the way, how many voice their complaints to others? That's called sowing discord. The warning is clear to the believers of God's church. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Philippians 2:14. Verse 16, would you believe right here in the book we're just studying, look at it. Verse 16 here in Jude. He describes a number of people above there in the foregoing verses. But then he says in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Boy, he covers a lot of ground there, doesn't he? Sure does. And then we know what happened. Verse 7. That we read, let's read it in closing. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Get that, folks, our example. Romans 1 tells us about that too. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Yeah, there's a fiery hell. There sure is. Now again, folks, your pastor, I can't even explain the burden that God put on my heart to preach what I'm preaching to you right now. I'm not going to try to explain it. But what you're hearing is of God, I promise you that. It's from God. It's His Word, and it has nothing to do with me other than I'm obeying what God wanted me to do. We're in the last days, folks. I'm going to say it again. It's dark out there. And the devil will destroy you. He'll ruin your faith in God. He will bring even people or things or whatever, even maybe money, to get you away from God, away from the blessings and that God even has for you. But when we step out of God's will and out from under, as I normally say, under the umbrella of His blessings, we're not going to receive them. That's right, Brother Galantine. This thing of serving God, being a child of God, has always been serious. But I believe more so right now than any day we've ever lived. This is a dark, ungodly, wicked place where we're living. And God wants me and you to be shining lights and stay away from evil. No matter what form it is. Stay away from it. Live for God. Stay in church. Get in church. Stay in church. Go to church regularly. That's deemed, oh, another way to say that is put God first. What more important place or thing to do than go to the house of God? Promise you, me and Brother Shelton, we have something for you if you come. We're going to give you what God says. Keep looking up, folks. Our redemption draweth nigh.